గణానాం త్వా గణపతిగం హవామహే కవిం కవేనాముపమష్టవస్తమం జ్యేష్ఠ ఓం శ్రీమన్మహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. This in second mundaka, the second section, the second part of the second section of Mundaka Upanishad, we have to go to the third mantra today. And we have already seen two mantras. And I told you this part of the section of this part of this Upanishad consists of many Mahavakyams. And you know very well, Mahavakyam is a great declaration which reveals the identity between the individual and the Lord. And here, the whole of the first section, as I told you earlier, talks about Brahman being, now everything being Brahman, by presenting it as Brahman as the cause, then Jagat as the effect, then later on, Jagat is nothing but Brahman, was established in the first section. And here, actually, the two Aikyams are presented. Two Aikyams means what? I told you, Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam and Badha Samanadhi Karanyam. What is Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam? Resolving the individual in the Lord. The totality is Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam. What does it mean by saying, the revealing the identity between the individual and the Lord? The truth of the individual and the truth of the Lord is one and the same reality. When you say this Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is established, the truth of the individual is not different from the truth of the total, the Lord. When you say it is, then you have resolved, you have equated the individual to the Lord, you have resolved the individual in the totality, the Lord, thereby you have established Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam. That means what? Jiva is Ishvara, none other than Ishvara. Like what? When you say wave is ocean, when you say the truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean are not two different things, isn't it? The Nama Rupa, which is Upadhi, from the standpoint of Upadhis, there's difference between Jiva and Ishvara. But from the standpoint of the truth, the Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the Jiva and the individual is one and the same. But the Vachyartha, the two meanings I told you, Vachyartha and Lakshyartha. From the standpoint of the Vachyartha, isn't it? Reality plus Namarupa is what? Vachyartha. Reality minus Namarupa is Lakshyartha. So, from the standpoint of the Vachyartha of Ishvara and Jiva, there is difference. But from the standpoint of Lakshyartha of Jiva and Ishvara, there is no difference. Establishing the non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara from the standpoint of Lakshyartha is what? Jiveshvara Aikyam. Isn't it? I told this what? Jivaha and Ishvaraha. Isn't it? You can say Jivatma and Paramatma Aikyam. And later on, and what is left behind is what? Now when you say Jiva and Ishvara, both are ultimately, absolutely, both are one and the same. Atma. Isn't it? The individual, truth of the individual is Atma. The truth of the Ishvara, the Lord also is what? Atma. So Jiva Atma and Paramatma, basically the standpoint of Lakshyartha, only one Atma. Is it clear? Then afterwards, still we have what? Atma and Anatma is there. What is Anatma? All the Namarupas put together, the Jagat is what? Anatma, the universe. And there again, here we are using what? Samanadhikaranyam, Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam. Now you have Atma. First you say, truth of the wave and truth of the ocean is one and the same. Okay, if a wave is ocean, you have established the oneness. Thereafter, now we have to say what? The H2O, the water, and Atma, and Anatma, the entire Namarupa ocean. Isn't it? Similarly, here also, now Atma, the truth of the individual, the truth of the Ishvara, the total is one and the same, which is Atma, the Chaitanyam. But Atma, and still we have what now? Anatma, Jagat. Isn't it? So this Atma, Anatma, Aikyam also had to establish. What is Aikyam? Samanadhikaranyam. What is Samanadhikaranyam? Here, Badhayam Samanadhikaranyam. What Badha means? What? Negating, isn't it? So here, when you say water and ocean, when you say ocean, the Namarupa is, isn't it? It stands for what? Like the Jagat, Namarupa. And water is the? Like the Atma. Then you say the whole ocean is just appearance only. There's no independent existence. This ocean is nothing but water. When you say Anatma is nothing but? Isn't it Atma like that? The Chaitanyam Brahma, which is the Atma. The truth, Chaitanyam Brahma means what? The pure consciousness, the reality, which is the truth of Jiva and Ishvara, is one and the same. And that consciousness, and the Namarupa, whole Jagat Namarupa, Anatma, consciousness is Atma. Are then consciousness, all the names and forms, all the objects of knowledge are what? Anatma. This Anatma is what? Isn't it? This Anatma has no independent existence. Therefore what? Anatma is dependent on the existence of Anatma Jagat, which is inclusive of your body mentions complex, isn't it? Presupposes the knowledge, the knower, isn't it? And then knower presupposes what? The pure consciousness. Therefore existence of the Jagat is existence of the pure consciousness. Therefore what? Whole Jagat is, has no independent existence outside of consciousness. Therefore what? Whole Jagat is nothing but consciousness. The ocean is just the name and form, nothing but water. Because when you remove the water, ocean cannot exist independent of the water. Therefore what is ocean? Water is not the ocean, but the ocean is nothing but water. Isn't it? So consciousness, Brahman is not the Jagat, but the whole Jagat. Isn't it? Brahman is what? Atma. Brahman is Atma. And Jagat is Atma. Anatma Jagat is nothing but Atma. When you say, you have resolved the Jagat in Atma. So now what you have done now? Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is established through Aikya Samanadhikaranyam. Then Jagad Ishvara Aikyam also is established through Badha Samanadhikaranyam. Is it clear? Is it clear or not? You established the oneness of Jiva Jagad Ishvaraha. Is first you understood now. Thereafter, the third mantra Upanishad tells, come on, now you have some understanding of what the reality is. The reality is one, eternal, independent, all-pervasive. Remember this, what is the reality known as Brahman, known by the term Brahman. That Brahman is what? Atma, the self of all the beings. Isn't it? Why? Because self means that which pervades everything, penetrating everything, permeating everything, that which pervades everything is Atma. What is that all-pervasive self of all the beings is Atma. It is the meaning of the word Atma. Okay? All-pervasive self of all the beings is Atma. that Atma is otherwise known as Brahman. That Brahman is the only secondless non-dual reality. Only secondless non-dual reality which is eternal, all-pervasive, independent. Is it clear now? That doesn't depend upon anything else for its existence. And that reality has some understanding, but still it has to be, what now? That has to be assimilated. For what? For mokshaya. Isn't it? For moksha. The Upanishad introduces, what now? This jnanam, for the ascertained vision of this reality, definitely, it again talks about the means, the third mantra. And that means of gaining this knowledge is likened to an archery, the third class I'm repeating, okay? Archery, so that you won't forget. Archery, because in archery, the three things are involved, the bow, arrow and the target. And here, bow stands for Shastra study, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Shravanam with the help of the teacher, Mananam with the help of the teacher, and Nididhyasanam without teacher and study. Why? Is it clear now? That is Nididhyasanam. And therefore, this Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, three steps involved in gaining the knowledge, are implied by what a Shastra study is implied by the this bow represents the Shastra study. Then this arrow stands for the jiva. Jiva here me has to mind. Why here? Even though you know individual means all the body, mind, sense, compass, etc. Isn't it? Because mind is the instrument using which one has to know. Isn't it? Where the knowledge has to take place. Because knowledge of any object takes place in the form of a thought, in the mind. Therefore, isn't it? Mind is the jiva here, and in this context, and this mind, the arrow, has to know the target, Brahman. Isn't it? Target, Brahman. And for this jiva, jiva arrow, to travel and reach Brahman, to hit and to become one with Brahman, isn't it? It needs the help of the bow of Shastra study. And here the distance between the arrow and the target Brahman being not, you know, any distance, real distance, not physical distance. And here the distance being only ignorance. That distance of ignorance between the arrow, jiva arrow and the target Brahman being ignorance, isn't it? And it has to be removed, the distance will be removed only by the knowledge. Therefore, knowledge will be brought about by Shastra study. Then, therefore, it is presented here in the archery. But if the arrow has to reach Brahman, even if the Shastra study is there, if the arrow still has to reach the Brahman, the target means, the arrow must be, arrow must be a perfect arrow. The perfect arrow means the straight and sharp arrow. Therefore, he says, the straightness of arrow is brought about by the mind, isn't it? Mind becomes pure and stands for purity and steady. Purity, and which is brought about by living a life of karma yoga. The sharpness of arrow stands for mental steadiness, which is brought about by the practice of upasanam. In the name of, that upasanam only we teach here as japa, manasa japa. Okay, the japa. So if a person practices manasa japa as upasanam, and also this lives life of karma yoga, these two will make the arrow mind straight and sharp. And that arrow has to be fixed on the string of the bow. Then one has to pull the string of the bow behind. That pulling of the string of the bow behind stands for one withdrawing one's mind from all other objects, external objects. There's so many things in the world which distract us. See, being distracted is not wrong, not papa karma. Please understand. Don't feel guilty about being distracted by things. It is very natural. That is why one has to have real, that is purushartha nischeha must be there. Only then, effortlessly, mind grows out of desire for other things. Naturally, mind becomes focused. That is why it is ashrama is different, isn't it? Even dashrama also. It is not a problem. One has to withdraw one's senses from other objects. This is what is usually misunderstood by people, misinterpreted by people. Withdrawing one's senses from other objects means, what does it mean? No, I want to have something, but I don't want to, no. I don't feel guilty to have that. Not that way. Naturally, one has to grow out of desire for objects. How does one grow out of desire for objects naturally? By knowing the limitation of it. What does it mean by saying knowing limitation of it? By understanding this object is useful, it is good, it is nice, it is natural for one to have desire for these things, but still what I want is moksha is very clear. Purushartha nischayaha is there. What this is what I'm really seeking is very clear, and nothing else will give me this what I'm seeking other than knowledge is very clear. Nobody needs to come and tell me, don't have desire for other things. I will naturally grow out of desire for things. Is it clear? It does not mean one should give up everything. Is it clear? Purushartha nischaya, knowing the limitations, that's all. I'm not saying enjoying anything is wrong, but when you're enjoying anything, don't get stuck there, get, you know, engrossed there. Why? Because you know the limitation of everything. Therefore, you know how to be moderate and how to, you know, and how to be focused on this. Therefore, that I am, yeah, no, Dhanuhu, we are going to see that mantra actually. When the pulling of the string behind, you know, in order to fix the arrow to make it ready for, no, ready for hitting or shooting is in fact striking the target, the Brahman is what? That pulling behind stands for withdrawal of one's mind from all other objects. Why? If the mind is in every object, it is distracted, it is scattered. Attention is scattered means it is then the focus is not there. Attention has to be focused, no? There must be focused attention. If attention has to be focused means it should not be scattered and distracted. Therefore what? That is why attention has to be taken from everything else. Attrition of the mind being taken from everything else other than Brahman is what said to be, is what is said to be dispassion towards other objects, vairagyam. Therefore, the pulling of the string behind stands for vairagyam, which is very much important for one to be focused. Manadai orumugappaduthuvatharku enna seiya vendum? What should I do to be focused? Isn't it? I want this. I want this definitely. I'm 100% I'm sure I want this. But am I focused towards it, gaining it, attaining it? I'm focused. But still I'm focused but not adequately focused. Why? There are other things which distract me. Isn't it? That is why here it means what? Totally focused. That is why the focus, no? How should be the focus? That example is given through illustration in Mahabharatam. When, you know, Dronacharya asked, come on, what do you see? Duryodhana says, I see the whole Jagat here. Only one thing he didn't see, no, the bird. And Arjuna said, what do you see? Arjuna did not see the leaves, did not see the trunks, did not see the branches, did not see anything. Arjuna saw only the bird. That is focus. That is, through this they only say that. It's literal, it's very gross example. But for the mind, you know, paithyam, it doesn't pitta. No, paithyam means mad, you know that. That's why if a person is thinking of only one thing continuously and his attention is not available for anything else means he is said to be a paithyam, Tamil, that means mad. You know that? That's why here also you should have a Brahma paithyam. You know that? You want to be mad, you're mad after something. We say this expression in English also. You're mad after something means what? You are all the time thinking of that. I want that. Isn't it? Like that, that madness must be there after Brahman. Madness means, I'm not saying don't be mad, okay? You are totally wise, wise person, very, very clever, intelligent, one must be sharp. See, the cognitive skills are very, very important. If a person lacks cognitive skills, Vedanta will be very boring. You know that? Very boring. Very boring otherwise. So here the focus must be there. So for that focus, what one should do, actually, he says, focus means mind is taken away from all other objects. That's what dispassion, vairagyam means. Please understand the meaning of the word vairagyam. It is very important. We are going to see Nathabodha class on anyway, Wednesday, not immediately. We'll see that, understand everything very clear, clearly. Vairagya means vigataha ragaha yasmat, the one from whom the attachment to other things has gone away is viragi. And vairagya means absence of attachment towards other objects. How attachment means what? You are attached to anything, the desire for objects have gone naturally because you know it is not going to give you what you want. That's all. You should know this all, understanding the limitation. Pakkuvam is called vairagyam, dispassion. What does it mean by ripeness, no? Maturity? How does it come? You have to know. Even though this Waitrose, such a big shop, lot of things, everything is available there. I walk that way every day, okay? But I never entered the shop. No, why? I don't have money. That is not vairagyam. Because I can't afford to buy things, I can't afford to enjoy what I want in life, I give up my effort to go inside and see, buy things, enjoy things, that is what now? That is not vairagyam. I don't go to the shop. Every day I walk to the shop. One day I went there, you know, to buy for 20 pence, one wants something. I never went there. I don't need to buy because Deva fills the fridge, everything there, so no need to go. Now what I'm saying here, that is not vairagyam. That is, yes and no. But now what I'm saying, I don't need them. Understand now? I'm not saying that this shop should not be there, anything. I don't need anything that is sold there because I don't need them. Isn't it? What I need, it cannot give. The shop doesn't have what I need. I have a special asafoetida from Coimbatore. It is not available here. I go to East Ham shop, not to Waitrose. Understand now? So what I want is here, not there means I have nothing against it. I don't have any virupu or virupu. I don't have hatred or aversion or liking towards that. I'm indifferent. Understand now? This is what my mind is taken away totally from those things. This is what growing out of desire. Understand now? When I am clear about what I want, if I'm sure that what I want cannot be given by this, I grow out of natural desire for these things. Is it clear now? So growing out of, naturally growing out of yelbaha, not by forcing oneself, I have to give up desire. It, there's no effort here. Naturally growing out of desire for objects, knowing the limitation that they cannot give me what I want, is what? Is what discovering dispassion, isn't it? The dispassion implies, the dispassion is a must for one to what? To be focused. To take one's attention will not be distracted, you will be very focused. Isn't it? Will not be scattered. So, freeing oneself from this scattered attention, thereby oneself focused means that focused attention is very important for the arrow, sharp, steady arrow. Isn't it? To go and hit the target, this dispassion is very important. Without pulling the string, even though sharp and all that, still nothing will happen. Is it clear now? That is what is meant by the drawing off, pulling the string off the arrow bow stands for one being focused by having dispassion towards other things, which is born of understanding. Vairagyam has to be there. Vairagyam will be there in a person only when a person understands. Without understanding of purushartha, you know, value of knowledge, you know, limitation of the objects in the world, it is not possible for one to discover dispassion. Is it clear now? Therefore, vairagyam. So, focused attention, born of vairagyam, through the understanding of limitations of objects, that they cannot give me what I want in life, isn't that is revealed by the pulling of the string. Okay, then the arrow goes means, then arrow going to Brahman is what? Mind being fixed on actually the Brahma Swarupam. Now you know what is Swarupam of Brahman, Atma, isn't it? Then it cannot miss the target. The mind has to be resolved in reality. The mind will be resolved in reality. You will discover fullness in the form of reality. Nirevai parambarulaha tan manadileye irupaga purindu kolvir. One will discover fullness as the reality in one's own mind. Isn't it? That is when a human being becomes God. Manidhan Irevanahiran. Understand now in discovering that. So we'll see that. This is what is said here. Dhanur Grihitva.
Dhanur Grihitva.
Upanishadam.
Upanishadam.
Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam mahastram. Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam mahastram. Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam mahastram sharam. Hyupasanishitam.
Hyupasanishitam.
Sandhaita
Ayamya
Tad Bhavagatena
Chetasa
Lakshyam
Tadeva
Aksharam
Somya
Vidhi. Okay, Soumya, O my beloved, dear student, Vidhi means may you know and may you strike and what? Strike, the means what? May you know, is it? To striking. What is that? Tad yeva aksharam. Tad yeva aksharam. Tad aksharam yeva. May you strike that aksharam is what? Imperishable. What is only imperishable thing here? Brahman, the reality. What is the Brahman, the reality? The Atma, the self. Isn't it? So, tad yeva aksharam vidhi. O dear student, may you strike that imperishable reality. What is that simple reality? Lakshyam. Tad lakshyam aksharam eva lakshyam. There is no other lakshyam. Isn't it? The only target is what? Lakshyam is? Lakshyam in that which is to be, that which is focused is what? Lakshyam, isn't it? It should be attained as lakshyam. So tad eva aksharam lakshyam. Aksharam lakshyam. He says, Vidhi, may you strike that Brahman, the imperishable Brahman, which is lakshyam. Which is your goal, which is your target. And how should you strike that actually your goal, the target of Brahman? He says, Chetasa. Look at this, Chetasa. with the mind, through the mind, by your mind. Chetas means mind. By your mind, by the mind. Manadal, how will you know? Chetasa. Chetasa viddhi. We strike that akshara, imperishable Brahman, by your mind. You can't striking with the hand, is not possible. Understand now? Here, strike that Brahman by your mind. Means what main striking here is knowing, isn't it? Brahman. Chetasa viddhi. And which type of chetas? So here explaining the mind, how should the mind which is going to strike Brahman be? That is said here in the previous words. Tad bhava gatena chetasa. Isn't it? Bhavagatam chetas means what? Tadbhavagatam chetas. Tadbhavagatam chetas means anyad na anyad bhavagatam chetas. Isn't it? Tadbhavagatam chetas means the mind which is totally focused on that Brahman. Tadbhavagatam chetas means andha ondraye kuriparthanatho. Tadbhavagatena chetasa. What does it mean? Having only that in your mind. Tadbhava means having only that as your object of thought. How many objects are there in your thoughts now? Now? Tell me. So many objects are there, isn't it? Even now, when sitting in the class, you know, somebody is there to keep attention, hold attention. Even then, my mind has so many things. When you are alone by yourself, not without having anybody to hold attention, what will happen? How many things are there in your mind? It's natural for us to have so many things. What is Mona doing? Whether she ate or not? You know, things will go like that. Natural, isn't it? But here, so like this, tadbhavagatam chetas. Tadbhavagatam chetas means having only that swarupam in your mind. What is there? Swarupam of Brahman alone is there in the mind. Object of your thought is none other than the self Brahman, means tadbhavagatam chetas. Okay, what is object of thinking thought? Tad. Bhava means what? Thought, isn't it? Tadbhava gatam. Chetas means what? The object, the mind which has the only object of its thought, the only object as its thought is what? The only one thought in the mind, that the object of the thought is Brahman. There's only one thought. Too many thoughts are not there. Too much of thinking is not there. That one thought, what is the only object there? Aksharam Brahma. Is it clear now? Tad bhavagatena chetasa. It's all preparing. Okay? Shastram does not ask you to meditate now. It is teaching what is meditation. Tad bhavagatena chetasa. If that mind is not ready, that's why don't get upset then. And keep on preparing yours. Let's all don't be in a hurry. Tad bhavagatam chetas. Okay? So, having that only the Brahman as the only object of thought, not any other, anything else, that is what is what? I am ya. No, having pulled the string, isn't it? Thereby having the attention of mind, you know, taken from everywhere and with focused attention only on that Brahman. Okay, tad bhavagatena chetasa ayamya. How do you pull the string of the bow? Tad bhavagata chetasa ayamya. Ayamya. Then, sandhayita. Then may you fix. Okay, sandhayita. You fix what? You know, you fix first. Upas sharam. May you fix the arrow. Fixing up of arrow is what? Sharam nahandhayita. May you fix the arrow. Arrow is here what? Mind. How the mind is now? Nishitam. Nishita means what? Sharpened, isn't it? How sharpened here? Upasa Nishita means Upasanaya sharpened. That which is the arrow of mind is sharpened means, is it sharpness of the arrow? I told you already, stands for mental steadiness. The mind is not agitated, isn't it? Distracted is a different thing. Here agitated is different. Too many things attract your mind, it's distraction. Scattered, mind being scattered. But here, too many things are distractive, but still mind is agitated. And objects of desire distract you, but situations agitate you. You can know difference between agitation and distraction. Agitation also sort of distraction, but distraction, objects of desire distract you, but an agitation, you, other objects don't distract you, isn't it? But still, situations may cause agitations. So that agitation-free, restlessness-free mind is what? Calm mind. The calmness is implied by the sharpness of the arrow, I told you already, and the steadiness of the arrow is what? Stands for mental purity, which is brought about by living a life of a dharma governed karma yoga life. Is it clear now? Therefore, upasa nishitam, the mind is sharp, now the focused, may you fix the arrow of mind, the mind arrow, isn't it, which is sharp and steady, with the, you know, steadied by practice of meditation, fix on that. Fix that to the string and pull the string, isn't it? Pull the string. How? Tad bhavagatena chetasa, with the focused attention, then you strike that arrow towards that Brahman, he said. And to fix the arrow, definitely one has to take what? First bow must be taken, isn't it? That's why it says, danuhu grihitva. So grihitva, having taken. And taking the danuhu, taking stands for Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. So Nididhyasanam for danuhu grihitva. Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. And the taking what? Danuhu, isn't it? Therefore danuhu, the bow, stands for Shastra, study, in the form of listening, reflecting and contemplating, etc. Isn't it? So this danuhu grihitva, and this is what? This is the great astram. Here, Upanishadam. Anything pertaining to Upanishad is Upanishadam. And here, Upanishadam stands for what? The Shastra study, if you can say, but still here, that the entire Shastra study is represented by one Pranavaha. Okay? So, may you take pranava, the bow of pranava, and then fix your mind there, okay? And the mind must be focused and straight, and focused and sharp and agitation-free mind, then with the total focus attention, having taken your mind from everywhere, all the things, and may you contemplate and strike that target of Brahman. Is it clear? This is the meaning of this mantra. This is going to be explained in the following mantra. Dhanur grihi tvaupanishadam mahastram. Tvaupanishadam mahastram sharam. Hyupasa nishitam. Sandhaita. Ayamya. Tadbhavagatena chetasa. Lakshyam tadeva aksharam somya vidhi. So say now, Upanishadam, say now, మహాస్త్రం ధను గృహీత్వా. అప్పుడు ఇట్ పాపులర్ అనవు. ఔపనిషదం మహాస్త్రం ధను గృహీత్వా ఉపాసానిషితం శరం సంధయీత తద్భావగతేన చేతసా ఆయమ్య తద్ అక్షరం లక్ష్యం ఏవ విద్ధి. హే సౌమ్య, హే సౌమ్య, ఔపనిషదం మహాస్త్రం ధనుహు గృహీత్వా ఉపాసానిషితం శరం సంధయీత తద్భావగతేన చేతసా ఆయమ్య తద్ అక్షరం ఏవ తద్ అక్షరం లక్ష్యం ఏవ విద్ధి. దిస్ ఈస్ ది ప్రోస్ ఆర్డర్. ఓకే ఓకే. నౌ దాట్ మంత్ర ఈస్ ఫర్దర్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్డ్ హియర్. విల్ సీ ది మంత్ర నౌ. నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ర ప్రణవః ధనుః. Now that same mantra is explained well here. Pranavah dhanuha. Hey, if I had to take the bow of Upanishad, what is the bow? Mahastram. What is that Mahastram bow here? What a great weapon, great missile, isn't it? What is that weapon here? Dhanuha. It says Mahastram. ధను ప్రణవహ ధను. ఎనీ కిండర్ గార్డెన్ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ శ్లోక, ఇజ్ంట్ ఇట్? ధను ప్రణవహ, ధను ప్రణవహ. వాట్ ఈస్ ధను? విచ్ ఇస్ ద బో యూ షుడ్ టేక్? డోంట్ గో అండ్ టేక్ ద రియల్ బో. వీ హ్యావ్ ఓన్లీ AK-47 అదర్ గన్స్. వీ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ మచ్ క్విక్కర్ ఫాస్టర్ వెపన్. వై షుడ్ వీ టేక్ ఎనీ అదర్ వెపన్? Please understand, don't take any such bow, okay? Don't go and order for it from Sri Lanka or India. So, dhanuhu here is what? Pranavaha. Dhanuhu, pranavaha. Sharohyatma. Sharohyatma. Brahma. Tallakshyam. Uchyate. Look at this. Isn't Upanishad repeating what it has said in the previous mantra? It is repeating here. Why? Even if you miss one class, one mantra, you have to get it somewhere, other mantra. That is the idea. Because it is, you see, even to understand what is Vedanta study, it will take time. Okay. ప్రణవో ధనుః శరోహ్యాత్మా బ్రహ్మ తల్లక్ష్యముచ్యతే తల్లక్ష్యముచ్యతే అప్రమత్తేన వేద్ధవ్యం అప్రమత్తేన వేద్ధవ్యం శరవత్ తన్మయో భవేత్ శరవత్ తన్మయో భవేత్. ఓకే, హి సేస్ ప్రణవః ధనుః. So what is the Upanishadam Mahastram? Shastra study is represented by one thing. What is that essence of the Shastram? Okay, Om is what? Whole Jagat is Ishvara. Jagat is Brahman. Jagat is Ishvara, isn't it? Ishvara is not Jagat. Bhagavan is not the Jagat. But the whole Jagat is Ishvara. What is Ishvara? Where is Bhagavan? You should ask where Bhagavan is not, isn't it? Everything is Bhagavan only. Everything is Paramburu. Anaitum Paramburule. All that is, there is the reality only. But therefore, Om is a sound symbol which stands for the Lord, the total, the whole. Jagat is Namarupani. Rupani, Namani, isn't it? Forms and names. All the forms are represented by names. The names are represented by the words. Words are represented by sounds. Sounds constitute what? Sounds are within a, u, m. Isn't it? Therefore, Om stands for all the sounds, all the vowels and consonants. All the vowels and consonants stand for all the words. All the words stand for all the names, and all the names stand for all the forms. And all the forms constitute the Jagat. And Om is equal to Jagat. Om is a sound symbol, isn't it? Therefore, Om, when you say Om is what? Stands for the subject matter of the Shastram Bhagavan. Sound symbol, isn't it? It stands for the whole. I told you last class also, the Om can be taken for meditation. Om can be taken for contemplation. Om can be taken for Saguna Upasanam. Om can be taken for Nirguna Upasanam. Saguna Upasanam will bless one with mental steadiness. Upasa Nishitam. Remember that. Mind which is steady mind. Agitation free mind. Isn't it? That is. But Nirguna Upasanam is what? Nidhyasanam will result in ascertained vision of the reality, which is moksha. Isn't it? Om can be taken for both. So here Pranavaha Dhanuhu. And therefore we take that upasanam. And what is sharaha in the previous mantra? This mantra tells sharaha hi atma. You have to be very careful. That is why I never like you to read the translations from English books. Okay, the word atma means self. When people translate the atma in English language, they'll put the word self. And here atma means the mind. Understand, not Brahman, consciousness. Even though the consciousness is implied by the Atma, implies consciousness only. But in this context, Atma means mind, Jivatma, not Paramatma. Understand now? That is why I say when you people read these words, you are confused. Sharaha, then target also is Atma, my arrow also is Atma. What is it? Is it clear? That is why Sharaha Atma means Jiva Atma, which is what? Mind, isn't it? Mind of the mind is the arrow. Tallakshyam Uchyate. Brahma Tallakshyam Uchyate. Brahman is what? Brahman is the absolute reality. The one secondless, non-dual, eternal, independent, all-pervasive. Is it clear now? The one, secondless, non-dual, eternal, independent, all-pervasive reality is what? Brahma. Now how I can easily say this? I made it very clear to you before how one. Now it is easy, isn't it? If I tell you now, it will be meaningless if I haven't explained to you before. When I say one, is it eternal, independent, all-pervasive, secondless, non-dual reality is Brahman. Isn't it? Only reality. That Brahma, tat lakshyam, kasya lakshyam, tal lakshyam means tasya lakshyam. Kasya lakshyam, whose goal it is, whose end it is. What is that here? Sharasya lakshyam, isn't it? The arrow, the target of the arrow to be, isn't it? To be attained, to be stuck is what now? Laksham Brahma Uchyate is said to be. Brahman is said to be the laksham, the target, to be hit by the arrow. Then he says, Vedhavyam. Vedhavyam is a possessive, no, the potential passive participle. Vedhavyam means should be, must be. No, must be, no, must be known. Vedhavyam. Is it clear now? Must be. Actually, vedhavyam, apramatena vedhavyam, should be known, must be known, you say vedhavyam. And how should be vedhavyam? Apramatena. See, apramatena vedhavyam means apramadaha, apramataha, apramatena without any indifference. Without being indifferent towards that. Is it not entertaining any doubt or anything else? Apramatena means without any indifference, means what? Without having any distraction, without any second thought about it, isn't it? Apramatena vedhavyam. The focus should be, it should be known. Brahman should be known. The mind arrow, the mind should know Brahman, isn't it? And then for which mind should you meditate on Om? It's all. Mind has to, attention of the mind should be focused on the Omkara in order to have the ascertained doubt-free vision of Brahman. That's all important here. Is it the Upanishad has shown figurative expression, the poetic way of presenting it? Only one sentence it has said now. It has taught us what? Only one sentence. What is that? For moksha, one has to have the ascertained vision of the Parampurul, the reality, and for which attention of the mind has to be focused on that reality. One has to meditate on, contemplate on that reality. This is said by what? This Upanishad. Is it clear now? Therefore, then, Sharavat Tanmayaha Bhavet. Sharavat, no, Sharavat means what? Sharam, Sharaha arrow, you know, Vat means like. The arrow, isn't it? Shot, arrow, shot goes and reaches the target and becomes one with the target. It goes and hits the target and becomes one with the target. Similarly, this mind which is, you know, meditating on Brahman also should know Brahman, and thereby the mind should understand it is not outside of Brahman. So mind can recognize its own Swarupam being Brahman, thereby it can resolve its identity in Brahman. Is it clear now? That is what is mind becoming one with target of Brahman. Is it clear now? Actually, the arrow has to go and hit and become one with the target, isn't it? Whereas here, mind does not need to become one. Mind is already Brahman. This contemplation helps the mind to recognize the distancelessness between mind and Brahman. Thereby, it makes the mind see the mind is not away from Brahman. That mind recognition is very important. This is not realization. Isn't it not self-realization? It is not self-experience. Please understand, it's not self-experience, not self-realization. Mind contemplation helps the mind recognize, not simply recognize, helps the mind have the ascertained doubt-free vision of the self being, mind being, self being the very swarupam. Be not away from that Brahman. Is it clear now? That's what is Tanmayaha Bhavet. Tanmayaha Bhavet. See, the wave is already what? Water. You have to say what? Wave Jalamayam Bhavati. Tarangaha Jalamayaha Bhavati. Means what? Can Taranga ever become Jalamayam? Can, Jalamayam means what? Already it is nothing but water, isn't it? Jalamayam means what? Tarangaha jalamayaha bhavati. That means what? The wave becomes water. It doesn't become water. It's already water. But until it recognizes, it is wave. Once after recognition, it is water. Isn't it? Recognition is what? Non-recognition is the distance. Recognition is the distancelessness. Is it clear? Similarly here, jalamayaha bhavati tarangaha in recognition. Before recognition, it's only tarangaha. Similarly here also, mind becomes tanmayaha. Sharaha tanmayaha bhavati means what? Mind becomes tanmayam. Tanmayam ahiradhen means what? Mind becomes one with Brahman. Tanmayaha, just as the target, the arrow goes and hits the target and becomes one with target, so mind also becomes one with Brahman. That means mind resolves its identity in awareness. Oh, the mind is nothing but consciousness. That knowledge takes place. And not only the knowledge takes place, in mind resolving its identity with the Brahman, the mind can also see all that is here is only Brahman. Is what tallaksham uchyate. Then tadu vedhavyam. Tadaksharam laksham vedhavyam. In that jnanam sharavathu ambai pola. Sharavathu like the arrow. Just as the arrow becomes similar to the arrow which becomes one with its target. Similarly, this atma, the mind, isn't it? Loses its identity, identity where? In Brahman, the Paramatma. Is it clear now? Jivatma loses its identity, where? In Paramatma. Okay, now gives, it resolves its, declares its Swarupam, becomes one with Brahman. Jivan, and then Ishwaraha Bhavati, Jivaha Ishwaraha Bhavati. Isn't it? One becomes Brahman. So, and before going there, I want to tell you this. This is the meaning, isn't it? Now, I told you how to meditate upon Om. Let me tell you here, isn't it? That is why usually only sannyasis are supposed to meditate, contemplate on Omkara, because it will result in dispassion. That is why when we teach other people, we add Om with some other mantra. We don't teach play simply Om. Isn't it? We add Om Namah Shivaya, or Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Saravana Bhavaya, or Om Ganeshaya. Something we add. Why? Because Om, play mere Om is already, in fact, taught only for sannyasis. Why I am saying here, the brahmacharis, when a person enters into the brahmacharya ashrama, I have to tell you these details. Don't think unwanted details, okay? They are all important. When an individual enters into the grihastha ashrama, as a young boy, and he initiated into the Gayatri Upadesha at the age of 7 or 9, don't worry about all those things, okay? You have been promoted to the thing without having all those things, without having passed all those classes, you have been given promotion to contemplation. So don't worry about all those things. But still, I want to know this. As a child, it's called Yajna Upaveta Karma is done for a student, for a young boy, and he is initiated into the Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra Upadeshaha. One special ritual we perform on a given day, it's called Upanayanam. One of the sacraments is performed, isn't it? The sacred thread is given, and the boy supposed to start chanting Gayatri Mantra every day 3 times. Okay? 3 times, morning, afternoon, and evening. He's supposed to chant 3 times a day. Okay? And as the boys chant Gayatri Mantra, my God, you know, see the Brahma Varchas, they just comes. Not one day thousand and leave over the whole year. No, it's a discipline. Of course, I'm very happy you're doing at least something. You know, I visited Amma's house twice for Gayatri Japa, once in their house, once in Deema's house. This is very good. Gayatri Japa is very good, isn't it? But every day one is supposed to do. Every day one has to do this japa. And this japa, when this brahmachari never gives up the Gayatri Japa, which he was initiated into at the age of 7 or 11, 7, 8, before 11. His whole life he chants. You know when he gives up? In sannyasa ashrama, he gives up Gayatri Japa. Once he becomes sannyasi, Gayatri Japa is given up. Gayatri would have prepared him already. Then he starts? Om Kara Japa. Isn't it? Meditation on Om is after having chanted Gayatri Japa throughout life. That is Omkara, okay? But now what we do? We haven't done any Japa. We do some Japa. We have done some Japa. Do we do it correctly? We don't know. But actually, but Shraddha is there. Shraddha is taken into account. You have great Shraddha, you have been doing something. But a lot of people have done a lot of other Japa. Now, so many other japams people have done. Some japam have been doing, knowingly or unknowingly. Some people have done Ramanama japam. Some people have done, in fact, Dakshinamurti japam, Dakshinamurti mantra japa, and Mrityunjaya mantra japa some people have done. Here, I know people have told me. So, lots of japam people have done to whatever is possible. So, that I can take into account. Now, I can say what? Omkar japa is okay. Manasa japaha. Isn't it? Some japa we have done. Even though not properly, you have not done Gayatri Japa. And this Omkara, we can just, you add some mantra to that and you can chant. The mantra japa itself as a manasa japaha will help as meditation, which I taught you in Upadesha Saram class. Isn't it? If you have not yet started, please start from today and from tomorrow. Manasa japaha. Mentally do your japam, which will be like a meditation, which will help you have some calmness. It's very important. You japam also don't do it with stress, okay? Then it won't make you calm. It's very important to do the manasa japam and to have, isn't it? That is the only way you can mentally become calm. To calm down the mind, please do manasa japam. And before manasa japam, if you find very difficult to do manasa japam, which is meditation, you better also do some basic pranayama. Find very difficult to do, don't do big pranayama. You can just sit quietly, sit straight, and slowly, consciously inhale, hold the breath. Consciously exhale, hold the breath. Consciously inhale, hold the breath. Consciously exhale, hold the breath. This, you please practice basic pranayama. I'm not asking you to do lots of, you know, breathing exercises. I'm not interested. It is only to help you. Please practice this basic pranayama technique. Consciously inhale, consciously hold the breath, consciously exhale, consciously hold the breath. I taught you in Upadesha Saram class as Purakam, Antah Kumbakam, Rechakam and Bahih Kumbakam. Do you remember that? Purakam is what? Inhalation. Filling the lungs with oxygen after inhalation is Purakam, and holding the breath after inhaling is what? Kumbhakam, Antah Kumbhakam. When you find it difficult to hold the breath, then start exhaling slowly. That is Rechakam, emptying your lungs, you know, with carbon dioxide. Empty it. The carbon dioxide has to be sent, pushed out. Then hold the breath again is Bahih Kumbhakam. Please, I'm requesting you seriously. Okay, you have, don't do any big pranayama exercise. Consciously inhale, hold, consciously exhale and hold, and practice this for at least 5 minutes or 10 minutes. 5 minutes is enough. Then this will help you to have the at least some agitation-free mind for manasa japa, mantra japa. Is it clear now? Because I'm not straight away teaching you om here. Instead of om, I'm saying. Because om exclusively is for, you know, sannyasis. But om with other nama mantra for everybody else. And you can do om also, no problem. If you are mentally ready for it, if you think you want to omkara japa, manasa japas, good, you can do it. Isn't it? But you, I'm saying, well, it's my job to tell you here, this context, I'm telling you. And then after the pranayama, don't do too many exercises of pranayama exercises, breathing exercises, just the basic step. Then it will help you to calm. Then after that, you do your manasa japaha. It's a first basic sadhanam. As I told you about sadhanam, isn't it? The 6 topics, one sadhanam is what? Sadhanani, many sadhanas. Basic sadhanam one has to start with is what? This manasa japaha, which is a meditation, upasanam. Only by upasanam, mind will become calm, agitation free. Isn't clear? So purushartha nischeha will help you to have dispassion, distraction free mind, but to avoid agitations caused by situations, to be calm. Isn't it? One has to do manasa japaha as meditation. Is it clear now? Why manasa japaha I am prescribing, not any given form? No, if you want to have meditation, means focusing your attention on a given thing. It need not be this alone. You can take even any, okay, just some people say, I focus my attention on flame of the fire. And I focus my attention on something else. You can have any object. An object of meditation which helps you hold, which holds your attention. By holding your attention, Ramana Maharshi said in that book, Upadesha Saram, Jala Pakshivati, isn't it? Jala Pakshi, the bird, which got encaged, no? Which got caged in the net, cannot go anywhere, isn't it? It's stuck. Stuck within the net. Similarly here also, the mind has something which has should be given to the mind to hold on to, so that the mind will not go everywhere. Manasukku pudichikkaradhukku onnu kudukkanum. You have to give something to the mind to hold on to. Isn't it? I told you many times in the class, if you have to prevent the child, the very naughty, mischievous child, from going and pulling and everything, everywhere, you have to give one toy. So it will sit with the toy. Divert the attention of the mind, of the child, from so many distant things, to divert the attention, what you should do? Give something else. Isn't it? Similarly, this japa also helps you what now? You divert the attention from everything else. Now first you have to meditate. One thing you have to give. That is why it's called alambanam. The object of meditation is said to be an alambanam. Support. Is it clear now? Support means what? It supports. Like for a creeper, you need to give a stick to climb on, to lean, isn't it? The creeper cannot stand by itself. It needs some stick to roll on, to climb on, isn't it? To stand, support. Like that, here also, what is support for the mind, for attention of the mind, the object of meditation becomes an alambanam, support. So how it supports the object of meditation? It supports the mind. How, in which way, in what form does it support? In which way does it support? It supports the mind not to be distracted, not to go everywhere, not to wander all over. Then to be on that. So you deliberately you have a focus on something. The object of meditation, you can do that. But here Upanishad presents pranava upasanam in this context. You can just chant the omkara. Just merely chanting the omkara becomes a saguna upasanam. Omkara mantra japaha is what? Saguna upasanam. Is it clear? That itself will bless you with some mental steadiness. But seeing the meaning of omkaraha, focusing attention on the meaning of omkaraha is nirguna upasanam. It can be taken for both. So first what you should do from tomorrow or today itself, do basic pranayama for short while, and thereafter following that pranayama, once you are calm, then try to do some mantra japa, Om Namah Shivaya or something. Try to do it mentally. Okay, that will help you later on to contemplate upon the omkara, the meaning of omkara. Is it clear now? And omkara, if you simply say, and how it helps us to contemplate on omkara, the meaning of omkara, how does omkara upasam also become contemplation? Is it clear till now? What I said is clear?
Yes.
Now, we say, I told you last class I started this, omkaraha, if you say akara, ukara, makara, all the three sounds stand for all three states of experience. Isn't it? Akara stands for waking, ukara stands for dream, and makara stands for deep sleep state. You can say akara stands for the gross manifestation, ukara stands for subtle manifestation, and makara state stands for unmanifest condition of the universe. Then all the akara, ukara, makara, where does it rise from? The sounds, where do the sounds rise from, and where do they remain, and where do they resolve? If you see, and that is nothing but pure knowledge, pure consciousness, isn't it? That pure consciousness is in fact represented by the silence which follows makara when you are chanting omkara. Om, 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 om. When you keep on chanting it mentally, please listen to me carefully. Your attention is not elsewhere. Your attention is only on the sound. And you don't see, you understand now, okay? Don't need to think about akara stands for that. Now you don't need to think about. Now already you know that. And every time om ends, after makara, what is there? Silence. Because you don't think of any other object, attention is with akara, ukara, om, makara sounds, om sound. When the sound ends, attention doesn't have anything. What is there? Attention of the mind is with silence, without alambra. That silence is what? Pure knowledge. Nama Rupa Rahitam Chit. Understand? Pure consciousness. And silence, stands for motionlessness. What does it mean? Silence means what? Not making oral noise is not silence. Now there is silence here. All of you are sitting quietly, nobody is talking except me. There is some noise only with paper's noise. There is no oral noise. Noise is not created orally. But do you think there is noise here, still there is silence here? Sometime when I am alone here, I can hear this noise. Tick, tick, tick. I come and do my japam here. Every day. So Dakshinamurti. And then I sometimes slowly this noise also will go for me. When I start my japam, I'll hear only this noise. Sometimes it will take very long for the sound to go. And slowly, when meditation really become very focused, the sound will go. I don't hear the sound. No way. That if my attention of the mind is only with the silence. What is that silence? Is it clear now what I'm saying? Silence means motionlessness, which implies actionlessness, isn't it? Changelessness. Therefore, pure knowledge is what? Pure knowledge does not do any action. Actionlessness is the nature of the consciousness. How consciousness is means, isn't it? Consciousness is reality, is in the form of consciousness, form of pure awareness, pure knowledge, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Silence always implies what? Actionlessness. What is there? That silence is nothing but pure consciousness. Silence stands for consciousness. And silence is consciousness, reality. That is the swarupam. Understand? Therefore, first you do your, immediately don't jump to that. You can do first your pranayama, basic step. Thereafter, please have it, make it, it's a Bhagavan. It's a great tapas. This Manas Japaha is a great form of worship. Don't think worshipping means only this is the worship and all that, isn't it? This is the tapas, it's a good tapas really. And do the pranayama for some time. Thereafter do your mantra japa mentally, Manasa Japaha. Okay, for some time. Then you can also do this japa. Okay, so here, and when you do this, Om, 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 Om. The mind is thinking of any other object, anything else, this Omkar Japa is meaningless. You cannot see the silence. If you think, oh Swamiji, what is it you are saying? Om, Om, Om. We don't understand really anything means. It is not. Understand? Do pranayama for some time and do just some mantra japa, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya for some time. Then don't do what? Contemplation, you need not do. First you do pranayama and mantra japa. Then when you go to other Upanishad, you can start this upasana. And don't worry about it. Is it clear now? And if you see, and please read Swamiji's book also. Okay, we'll go to the next mantra. Now, okay, what is that Brahman Upanishad is repeating? What is that Brahman this arrow should go and strike? this mind arrow should go and strike and become one with the target of Brahman, isn't it? Through meditation. Isn't it? By meditation. Therefore, what is it, Brahman, which has to be reached, isn't it? What is that reality which this mind has to strike? Isn't it? Reach. That is again said in the next mantra, 225. Yasmin Dyauhu Prithivi Cha Antariksham Otam Manaha Saha Pranaihi Cha Sarvaihi Tamevaikam Janatha Atmanam Anyavacho Vimunchatha Amrutasya Yesha Setuhu. Upanishad says very boldly, Amrutasya Yeshaha Setuhu. Yeshaha Setuhu. I'm sure you remember Yeshaha. Yeshaha, this. Isn't it? Setuhu means what? Bridge. Setuhu. Setu Bandhanam. You remember the word Ramana Setu? Between Sri Lanka and Rameshwaram, we have Setu. Understand now? That's what problem now. So Setu we have. And then Setuhu is a bridge. Isn't it? Yeshaha Setuhu means this is the bridge. Bridge is always required to reach a place which cannot be reached without a bridge. Isn't it? That's why bridge. Yeshaha Setuhu. This indeed is the bridge. Yeshaha Setuhu. Kaha Setuhu? Yeshaha Setuhu. What is this bridge? For what? This bridge will help you to arrive at something, isn't it? Through which you have to arrive at something. What is that? Amrutam. Amrutam means what? Amrutam means mokshaha, immortality. This indeed is the only bridge, isn't it? Which will help you attain immortality. So here he says, Yeshaha, Yeshaha Setuhu. This is the bridge. For what he says? Amrutasya. Amrutasya Yeshaha Setuhu. Amrutasya Yeshaha Setuhu. Amrutasya Yeshaha Setuhu. This is the bridge. For what? For accomplishing, attaining, reaching immortality. Immortality implies what? Mokshaha. Mokshasya, mokshaya, yeshaha setuhu. What is setuhu here? He says, knowing Brahman. Knowing Brahman is the setu. Knowledge of Brahman is the setu. Knowledge of the reality is the setu. So what he says, Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Vachaha vimunchata means if moksha is your target, he does not say come, all of you come and try only moksha. He doesn't say if your target is moksha, if you are a mature person, if you are intelligent person, if this life has taught you the limitations of everything, artha kama dharmas. If you have lived your life now, then you must be by now clear what now? Moksha is the choiceless end. Isn't it? Fullness is a choiceless end. Happiness is a choiceless end. Then that is very clear. for that end, if the end is very clear, this is the only way. Yeshaha Setuhu. Mokshasya Yeshaha Setuhu. Then for that, Anyaha Vimunchata, give up everything then. Vimunchata, Upanishad is very strong here. That is why Upanishad is not taught to everybody. You know that people ask, always find fault. These Mataadipatis sitting there, they never came out to teach Shastram. They kept everything for themselves. Like people find fault. Really speaking, it should not be given unasked. Why it was not given unasked? Like day before, one person came, he knocked at the door and she asked me to study Bible with her. I told her, come next Wednesday. Everybody said, come next Wednesday. You know that. I don't upset her. She comes and knocks at the door to teach me that. Really. They, two people came and she's from Trivandrum. Oh, nya indeena akum. She's told me very happily. And now I'm from Trivandrum. She said happy. Oh, you're Trivandrum. My next place. Come next week. I told her. No, I never tell a lie, okay? But I never hurt people. But this is what happened, no? I told her that. No, why I'm saying the knocking at the door? The Shastram is never given to people forcing, come, study, learn. No. It is provided, whoever wants it, whoever is ready for it, they have to come. Only when they start attending the classes, the exposure to something will help them discover interest also in this. And even for some Paradha, some Punyam, something must be there. Isn't it? Otherwise, a lot of Pratibandhas will come. It's not a problem. It's some natural problems. Pratibandhas will come. So here, Anyaha Vachaha Vimunchata means, it really needs what? Give up everything else. Vimunchata, other words. Give up all other words. Give up talking about other things. Give up, don't waste your time and energy. You know, don't give waste your time and energy for anything else. It's just a waste of time and energy. You know, giving your mind for so many things, unwanted things. We focused, moksha is a target, jnanam is the target. Knowledge of Brahman is the target. Bhagavan is the target. Then there's no time for this mind. Time is very precious, isn't it? There's no time for any rubbish here. So, anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Don't give up. Isn't it? Anyaha vachaha vimunchata means, don't talk any other words. Don't give your time and attention of your mind. Isn't it? Giving your mind for anything is the... So I tell you, the mind is a very, very, very precious thing. Time of attention of the mind being given to something else is what? Losing oneself in something. It's a waste of time. The mind is given to attention, the mind is given to something other than Bhagavan, then it's a waste of time. Upanishad says this. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Give up all other words means what? Giving up all other words means the words you talk, you know, is what actually expression of your thoughts only. The thoughts are what? Your mind is not with Bhagavan means only then you'll talk. The mind is with Bhagavan, what is there for you to talk about? All my goal is always, my mind is on Brahma. That means my focus is only Brahman, Upanishad study, Shastra study, I study this, how to understand this, how to be with the subject matter, even if it's repetition, even if it is this, how to be with the Vastu. See, when you are not able to dwell upon the nature of reality, even after attending one Tattvabodha class, you will know what reality is. Realities, consciousness, you know a lot of things. The whole Shastra's vision you will have just by studying Tattvabodha class. Then you are able to contemplate on that Swarupam by yourself, you can sit at home, don't need to come for other class. Really speaking, you don't need to come for other class. That is enough. Satyam. Satyam that is. But we had to come for the class Upanishad after Upanishad to study the same thing. You know why? I am not able to focus my attention of my mind on the subject matter of the Shastram by myself. Until I am able to focus my attention of my mind on the subject matter of the Shastram by myself, let me go and be in the class where the teaching will help me to be with the subject matter of the Shastram. The simple thing. Have you got it clear now? That is satsangaha means what? there must be a time when you should be able to be by yourself. Being able to be by oneself means being able to be with the Brahman, the subject matter of the Shastra. That we are not able to. That is why so many text after text, the same subject matter, Tattva Bodha, what we studied, we will be understanding more extensively in Dhrigdrishya Veka. The same subject matter we are studying here. In Bhagavad Gita, same will be studying. Why? I told that a different recipe, no? One day puttu, one day kola puttu, one day idiyappam, one day rice, and then one day roti, and all that variety we need, because same food, isn't it? Food is the same. Isn't it? Like that, it's also like the same thing we are studying. Because that is the only way you are focusing your attention on subject matter of the Shastram, that is Bhagavan, that is Brahma. One has to remind oneself of again and again and again and again and again and of my moksha being the end. Even though I know, still I know moksha is the ultimate end, still I seem to be interested in other things. Why? Because it is natural. That is the mind. And how to prepare that mind? That is a bring the mind, use your will and buddhi, power, shakti, on the, you know, your choice over action, pull the mind to the class, isn't it? And take it. That is the support system. Study with the teacher is a support system, further again and again and again. It is just all of us together, all of us are thinking only of that subject matter of Shastram. That is what is really bringing us together, isn't it? So, anyaha vachaha vimunchata means give up all other words. A meditative mind should not be involved in unnecessary talks, unnecessary discussions, unnecessary things. Anything that disturbs, that has disturbances are because of what? Our own pratibandha. For which you have to specially pray to Bhagavan. I don't want to see anything like this. Let me have my things. Isn't it? Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Give up all other words means it's not just words orally uttered. The words which uttered orally come out from the thoughts only. The mind, that means the thoughts have to be expressed means attention is not on subject matter of the Shastram. It is elsewhere. That's a distraction, isn't it? So if you're really a serious person, this is the way for you. Eshaha eva setuhu, for which contemplation is the only setuhu. Meditation is the setuhu, isn't it? So, anyaha vachaha vimunchata. I meditative. I live a life of meditation means what? My mind is not, attention of mind is not available for anything. No, because mind is very precious. Attention of the mind is given to what? That shows where your maturity is. It is natural for us to be given to other things. I am not saying it is wrong or anything. Isn't it? So, we all our effort is to bring that attention from things, unwanted things to... Now we know. Being distracted, attention being given to other things is not a wrong thing, but it is not a useful thing. It's a useless thing. Understand what I am saying? Why I'm saying it's not wrong? Because not that you want to focus attention on other things. You are helplessly, attention goes everywhere. That is the nature of the mind. But here, as a human being, you use your will, you use your choice over actions, and here you avoid that. And that avoidance is possible only if you have Purushartha Nischayaha. Then only if you know the value of contemplation, only if you know the value of meditation. People are very sharp and very bright, they can understand. Still distraction, still contemplation does not work. Still if nothing happens means what? This is nature. That is why from childhood, now from always pray, worship, fall the feet of elders, do this, don't do this. This all been taught so much. And if we feel burdened, oh my gosh, too much, the parents tell us. We feel really, they irritate us. Always correcting me. We get irritated. Really speaking, values and disciplines are so beautiful and joy to live if you know the value of it. When you do not know the value of the disciplines and values, then it's a burden. It's a simple thing, isn't it? But here, really speaking, doesn't matter how you lived all your life. Upanishad, the day you come to this verse, one can start, one should know Purusharthan. Nischaya is there. Subject matter of the Shastram is, mind must be only in the subject matter of the Shastram. Mind must be contemplative and meditative. If the mind has to be meditative, deliberately, one has to, diligently, isn't it? One has to take one attention from other things. How to take one mind from other things? Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Upanishad just takes a whip and anyaha matta vatala uttu thallu. You know, give up other words. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata means don't give attention, don't pay attention to anything other than subject matter of the Shastram. Paying attention to subject matter of the Shastram will help you to live your life correctly. Know that? That means what? You will know how to be righteous. You will know how to be morally right, perfect. You will know how to be ethical. You will know how you can do your things. Isn't it? You will know how to do your things correctly. Isn't it? And then in that, once you know how to do your things correctly, you don't need to be worried about, you know, what is happening around. That will not really disturb you. If other person is wrong or right, that person's punya papa, that person will take care of it. Everyone, when a person is committed to moksha and jnanam, lives a lifestyle that is not necessary for anything else, it's not necessary. Isn't it? Because I can't understand sometimes what is happening around. Isn't it? You know what I'm saying here? Anyaha vachaha imunchata means being focused. Repetition. Okay, Shastram repeats. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Be meditative. Being meditative implies not paying attention to anything other than the subject matter of Shastram. Commitment is to Dharma, commitment is to live a life of Karma Yoga, commitment is to live a contemplative life, commitment is to be object matter of the Shastram, the reality, isn't it? And then to the prayer and worship. This is what is attention should be paid for things which will be will make your life conducive for meditation. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. He says, Tam janatha. Janatha means what? May you know. Know what? Atmanam. May you know the self. Swaminiji, we have already heard this many times. Why are you saying this? Do I have to translate it or not? I have to repeat. Atmanam janatha. May you know the self. Here Atma does not mean the mind. Here Atma means the self. Why? Because it's followed by the verb janatha, know. May you know. May you know means what? Janatha. May you know. What? Atmanam. Atmanam means what? The self. Atmavai. Why the self is said to be Atma? Because self is the reality. Reality is all-pervasive. Therefore, self is said to be what? The all-pervasive reality is the self of all the beings. Therefore, all-pervasive reality is known by the word Atma. Self is known by the word Atma. Is it clear now? Atmanam janatha. May you know the self means may you know the self, the all pervasive reality. Atmanam janatha. Yeshaha eva amrutasya setuhu. This is the bridge, isn't it what? To amrutam, to moksha. Anyaha vachai munchata. And atmanam, atmanam janatha means, in fact, it says, yekam tam yekam eva tameva yekam. Say now, tameva yekam. Anda oruvanaye, when you say that, only one thing. Tam ekam yeva. Yeva again emphasizes, come on, don't waste your time anymore. If you are 5, if you are 10-year-old, if you are 15-year-old, if you are 20-year-old, if you are now 25-year-old, we can accept. You have to give your attention of your pay, attention of your mind should be paid to the learning, all other studies. No way, because other studying other disciplines, learning other things will bless one with cognitive skills, the understanding capacity. It will sharpen the intellect. Now, the academic education, knowledge of other aparavidya will is very, very useful. Why? It helps the mind, buddhi, to become sharp. Isn't it? Aparavidya is for sharpening your intellect. Because you will start thinking properly. You will start thinking correctly. Aparavidya is for right thinking. And also become intellectually sharp. Very important. That is why when you are very young, all those things are okay. Isn't it? After certain age is what? Even whether academic education is there or not, does not matter. Life itself is a lesson. Because in young age, why we want youngsters to be disciplined. That is why they're exposed to education. It's not for simply for earning money alone. Isn't it? Of course, my artha, kamas are definitely needed. For that sake also education helps. Mainly, education is for becoming mentally disciplined, to become intellectually sharp. The raw buddhi becomes sharp, shining buddhi. Blunt buddhi becomes sharp, shining buddhi. That is why education. Isn't it? That is a different thing. But here, even if you are not other education is not there, still living one's life properly itself is what? With a commitment to the family and things, when you are living, that itself teaches you a big lesson. Isn't it? My God, so many years of life I have lived, so much I have studied, so much I have accomplished. I did so much for this wife, so much for the children, so much for the husband, so much for the friends, so much for the relatives, so much for these people. I served the people so much. What I have understood at last? Everything gave me some pleasure, really. Isn't it? It has not removed my sorrow. It has not removed my problems. It has not removed my limitations. This is what is pariksha lokan karma chitan. Nirvedamayat brahmanaha. Isn't it? Having examined thoroughly all one's life's accomplishments, one day, I have lived so many years. I have done so much. But what I have achieved? I am happy. I had some pleasure in between. Life was nice, okay, everything. Going for holiday, Chidambaram and Tiruvannamalai everywhere once a year. Everything was nice. That's all helped. But still I continue to be the same unhappy, complaining and lamenting, worried person. Isn't it? Even in pilgrimages, I tell you, including that. I visit that place every year 3 times, this place every year 3 times, I visit that person, they have darshana, everything we do. But we can't be the same people. Isn't it? Therefore, this is what is understanding, isn't it? One's own life should teach one's own life's experiences. A person has to learn from one's own experiences that all one's accomplishments haven't helped him to be relieved of his unhappiness, sorrow, or emotional problems. That means this is how one understands the limitations of one's life's accomplishments. If a person can get this knowledge that nothing in the world can make me happy, no accomplishment will make me really happy. Yeah, okay, 40 years have gone already. In the rest of the 40 years, in the last part, you know, you can't count 80 also I'll be able to do something. You know, physically you are not that strong, like you are not as strong as you were before. That means how much can you accomplish in 20 years time, in another 15 years time? Nothing much. You can understand, all the best part of life is over, what have I achieved? In the future time, how much I am going to accomplish? That is why this knowledge comes for a person means he is an intelligent person. Who is an intelligent person according to the Shastram? One who has learned from one's own life's experiences that all that they have accomplished till now, whether you have accomplished or you have not accomplished, all my years I have spent till now really has not, has not helped me to discover what? Fullness. I still continue to be a small person. And Shastra says, Atmanam Janatha. Know the self. That only way you can discover. Even if you have not accomplished anything till now, even if you think the whole life you have, some people have some sense of fulfillment, I have achieved so much. Some people have, I have not achieved anything at all, my whole life is my failure. Whatever you think does not matter, whether the life you lived is a life of success, relatively successful, or failure also is a relative failure, but still your life will become a complete, meaningful, successful life. If you know the self, the purpose of living this life becomes served if you know the self. Is it clear now? Therefore, Atmanam Janatha. Atmanam Janatha. May you know the self. Anyaha Vachaha Vimunchata. Podu. Peshnadu. Understand now, anyaha, give up other words. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Don't pay attention to anything else. People may think you're a freak or you don't know how to live this life happily. In fact, they do not know where happiness is. Because I do get some complaints from my students who are from different classes. They complain, always you go for the classes and then you're available for partying. And then people all, how we had to socialize. Tomorrow we have daughters and sons. We had to get them married. And we had to mix with other people. We need to socialize. Without society support, how can we live? So some people create problems. This is because people come and tell me actually. This is the problem. Maybe not, this sort of problem may not be maybe with English people. I don't know. It's with the Indian families. We need to be no friend. I tell you, who asked to be enemy, who have any enmity in society? I tell you, a Shastra person is the friendliest person. You 100% you wish everybody well. 100% you pray for the happiness of everybody. You don't pray because you mind your own business, so you really contribute for the peace of the world. You know that. Even if you are the friendliest person, there is socializing. There is some socializing here also, but socializing is not the main thing, isn't it? So some things come, it's all because very important, isn't it? So enough. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. This needs some maturity. This needs some commitment. This needs some, isn't it? One has to be intelligent also. So he anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Atmanam janatha. Atmanam janatha. Tam yekam eva atmanam janatha. May you know only that. The self. What is that one thing which you should know? You haven't learnt anything in the whole life. You haven't studied anything in your whole life. You have achieved something. You have not achieved something. Doesn't matter. Even now, there's one thing. What is that? Tam ekam eva atmanam janate. May you know only that, the self. That makes your life complete, successful, meaningful and accomplished life. Tam ekam eva atmanam janata. Don't waste your time anymore. Upanishad says that anyaha vachaha vimunchata tam ekam atma ekam eva atmanam janata. Time is very precious. That is why association also should be with the people who are interested in Shastra. That will help. Suppose, you know, that is why always I like, you know, getting together also must be with people who are of similar interests. Very important. So, okay. Tameva ekam atmanam janatha. So what is that atma which you should know? Isn't it? He says, yasmin. Say no.
Yasmin.
Dyauhu. Prithivi. Cha. Antariksham.
Antariksham.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Okay. Otam.
Otam.
Manaha.
Saha
pranaihi.
Saha pranaihi.
Cha.
Cha.
Sarvehi.
Sarvehi.
That atma in which the heaven, the earth, the intermediary space, the mind and all the sense organs, all of them are interwoven, in which that is what is Brahman. May you know that Atma. We'll see that the explanation next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.